Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, I think it'd be all right.
Welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In this episode, I will continue to celebrate the holiday season just like I want to celebrate it. I'm still reading and writing about everything Prince in this episode, and I'm not adding anything new to the narrative. I simply am compiling the facts, just in case you haven't thought about his music for a minute. He is described as revolutionary, and therefore the name of the band, Prince and the Revolution. Okay, I get it now. I will discuss the meanings behind his lyrics, Let's Go Crazy, the spirituality, and why Michael Jackson and Prince differed, but not really. I'll go over my own personal collection of his music, which went off the rails and was kind of sketch between the release of Purple Rain and up until 2015, and I freely admit that. As well as going over his beef with Warner and what that meant to the rest of the music industry and where we are now with streaming services that he had preempted and foretold or foresaw as far back as 1995, 1996 with his beef with Warner. And I hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I enjoyed creating it. Thanks for listening.
A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one.
Doctor, I think it'd be all right.
Religious angle and some of Prince's lyrics. You hear about the messages in the music and spiritualism all mixed up in his music, but this is a highly charged part of the year where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, there's also Hanukkah, there's also Kwanzaa, that is to rail against the commercialism of the season. In this age of newfound pride, people are masking pride behind religious religiosity and bigotry, and it just allows them to propagate hate speech, propagate homophobia, and just propagate everything that the season is so much against. And I think that was one of the things that Prince was actually railing against in his music. I didn't know until recently when I read an article dedicated to Prince from the, magazine. So, I'm sorry, Rolling Stones, where they broke down the meaning behind a lot of his lyrics. And one of the things they broke down, Let's Go Crazy. And if you look at the riffs and how fervent the beat was, it's like almost being in some type of religious service. He goes, "Dearly beloved," it's like a marriage ceremony, how it starts out. And then it says, "We're gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time, but I'm here to tell you there's something else, the afterworld." He's talking about the here and after, and meaning, just so you know, he actually was raised Seventh-day Adventist. He did not convert to Jehovah Witness until 2001, so he was still very much on his own individual walk. He says, "So when you call up that drink in Beverly Hills, you know the one, Dr. Everything will be all right. Instead of asking him how much time is left, ask him how much you're of your mind, baby. Because in this life, things are much harder in the afterworld. In this life, you're on your own." And it's like you focusing on the here and after when it really is what you have to pay attention and be present here in the moment. And he equates the elevator trying to bring you down as the machinations of Satan. And he says, "Go crazy, punch a higher floor." That means, in Prince's speak, aim for something higher, aim for something better. And if this doesn't something that, you know, tells about his own personal struggles and his personal walk, because he would actually go and continue to pursue the word on his own terms and as it made sense to him. And he would always continue to marry that with his music. And I mentioned something in my last episode that I don't know, it doesn't need to be clarified, but I think most Prince fans know of his beef and feud with Michael Jackson. It was more of a competition because both he, Michael Jackson, I believe Madonna, were all born the same year or within the couple of years of each other. And they were label mates at one point on Warner Brothers. And he, Prince, wanted to exert as much control, make as much money as he could possibly make, but at the same time get his music out to his fans on his own terms and not really listen too much to the record executives. He wanted a bigger piece of the pie, and he wanted a control over his music and the production and every aspect of it. But I digress. Prince himself basically said that how much spirituality and religion meant to both of them. He admitted the two had talked about the challenges of mixing fame with a religious journey. He said that it was difficult for both of them, and he personally couldn't have done it at a younger point in his life because he was wilding out at the time of Let's Go Crazy. He freely admits that. He wished he could have talked to Michael more about it before he died. Michael Jackson, it doesn't seem that he died in 2009, and Prince would die almost a decade later. But And that was actually written by Dudley Brooks in the Washington Post not too long after he himself had passed away. But the meaning and the balance of it all, because you have to think of there's something higher than yourself that will keep you grounded and will also keep you creating. Because if you don't think anything is better than you and you get locked up into all the fame, then you can also implode. Because why would you create? It seems that Prince was on a mission not only to make money, because he wasn't crazy, but he also wanted to get the music and to create the music and get it to his fans as lucratively as possible, but also as this was his way of celebrating the higher spirit and something that was higher than himself. And this was a way he could get that message out and hopefully garner and make everyone just revel in the beauty that is creation and the natural and the love of it all. Yes, it's kind of touchy-feely and kind of on some high next level-ish, but it all makes sense. If you're grounded, you're going to continue to create in order to celebrate that which is higher than yourself. And that, I think that makes it amazing and why he is such an icon. And I can only imagine what is in the vaults of Paisley Park, what he would have done and could have done and is still waiting to be released to the general public like myself. And if it's anyone, it's kind of like the Beatles and Elvis and Tupac, for all that matter. They continue to release albums after they pass away. I think this was, in a way, where we haven't seen anything yet. We still are getting people with the stories, adding to the mystique. But I want them to get into those vaults and all that music that he never released through Warner and all of the other labels. I want to see exactly what the next step, now that he has passed, if he left any instructions, because he was a little bit OCD in that fact, or what can we possibly expect now that he's passed on, and what it could have been and how it would have been different if it had passed. I'm excited for that. Take a look around, at least you got friends. Come on, lady, more friendly word. So you picked up phone, jumped on the floor. That's all I heard. I'm not gonna let the elevator break. So welcome back to this section of the podcast, and I'm rounding the corner, concluding on his royal purpleness. I always am mindful that people will not understand why I'm doing this, and granted, this is more of a hobby to me. It would be great if I could get paid to have this much fun, but I don't think that's in the cards for me right now. And that's okay when you think about it. So I'm going to end this segment with just talking about the Prince's music. My own personal collection of Prince's music seems to have gone off the rails like after 1991. However, 1984 is when Around the World was released, 86 Parade and Under the Cherry Moon, 87 Sign of the Times, and then he transitioned, and a lot of critics, including the African-American community, said that he wasn't black enough and he wasn't R&B. But everything he had released before Purple Rain, and even Purple Rain itself, did not or was not a strictly R&B album. It was pop. It was soul. It was funk. So for them to say that, they just need to go and sit down somewhere. And basically that's what Prince did and said with his bootleg album, Black Album. It was probably one of the first diss albums ever to be released that was never released. Right before it was supposed to ship, he demanded that Warner Brothers pull it, which they did, but a few copies actually leaked out. Love Sexy, 1988. Then in 1991 was Diamonds and Pearls, and I actually had this cassette, which I cannot find at this time. And 92 is when the public beef with between Prince and Warner Brothers was ramping up. He wanted more control of his work, ownership of the masters, and he wanted to be paid just as well as his label mates, which at that time were Madonna and Michael Jackson. And he did. He held out in his 1992 groundbreaking contract, which 10 albums or which $10 million advance per album was probably one of the most lucrative of its time, but he was not satisfied with that. As he said in his 2004 induction speech at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, when I first started out in the music industry, I was most concerned with freedom. Freedom to produce, freedom to play all the instruments on my records, freedom to say anything I wanted to. That obsession remained until the end, and that was in one of his Rolling Stone or Billboard interviews. In 1992, he released the Love Symbol album, and then in 1995, he released the Gold Experience, when he became the artist formerly known as Prince, or he just went by the sign. 1996 was the Emancipation, and that was when he was voluntarily released from the Warner Brothers contract and would start releasing music through his NPG label. 97 was the first to offer, he was the first to offer and sell albums directly to his fans. 1999, Napster was created and music streaming became big business. Well, after they basically shut down the illegal version of Napster, and then when iTunes and up, and then to be followed by other streaming services, made it a very multi-billion dollar industry. And he had foretold this all the way back in 1992 with this beef with the industry. 2004. Musicology was released, and I got this free at a concert in Philly when I saw him for the first time. 2006, he released 3121, one of his last number one albums. 2007, Planet Earth, I have one of the second pressings on vinyl. 2014, he received all of his masters back from Warner. And then 2014-2015, he released Hit and Run Part 1 and Phase 2. I think that may have been part of that deal with Warner when he got all of his masters back. One of his commemoration writers back in 2016, in May of 2016, after he had passed away, was Music Sets the Mood. Prince's music sets the mood, told the story, blew your mind, comforted your sudden vulnerabilities, and made pancakes for you in the morning. All because it was pure, amazing, and speaking at you. Its purity dismantled accusations of motive and became a blueprint on how to live free. Prince created the world he wanted to live in, and then lived in it among all of us in our present one. It never fit our norms, but rather than ridicule, we admired. And that was written by Andre Carlisle in 2016. In part, I read that. And you can actually navigate to medium.com/thecoffeelicious /prints, and then there's a whole bunch of numbers, but the actual link is actually in my podcast notes. You know, most of his songs are just like the background track music or his songs are like the background track music of my life. I always feel as though it will forever be there playing, and then all of a sudden, it's not, but not forgotten. I hope you enjoyed this brief synopsis of one of the greatest artists of our time as much as I enjoyed creating it. And if you like what you hear, don't hesitate to navigate to DalesAngelsInc.com for all special offers and updates on nerd news. Drop me a line at TennesseeFroisReading@gmail.com or leave a non-trolly 2-minute voicemail at 423-463-0658. Your comments may actually be read or played during the podcast. I hope one day that will be true. And also, if you like what you're hearing and tired of freeloading and want to become a patron through Podbean, you can navigate to patreon.podbean.com/thetalkingfro, or you can leave me a tip at paypal.me/FeliciaDAI. And thank you and happy holidays. And thank you for listening.